Give me one second, it'll just get ready here. All right. So, for tonight, I thought since I guess I'm still kind of new here, I'd share my testimony with you guys and, there's not much to be said because I guess I'm not very old and I got saved pretty young too. But there is to be said that God is gracious and He is forgiving us of our sins. So this is the point I want to bring through my testimony, if that makes sense. I also want to apologize if I do any mistake English-wise, and I guess we can start with a word of prayer now. So, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we can all come here together tonight, and thank you that you guide us through our lives, I will be bring tonight may not come from me, but may come from you, and that the word I'm speaking may be yours, just asking that those words might be encouraging and a good way of worshiping you for the assembly here, and help me through this little time, and Jaden later, and we pray for everything in the name of your son Jesus, and in your name, amen. So, as I said, I'm gonna speak on my testimony about my testimony here. Can I move this or? Yeah. All right. I can see you guys a little bit better. So, let's do it. So, I guess I'll be kind of reading my notes here. Sorry if I don't really look at you guys, but it's kind of helpful for my pronunciation to read what I wrote there. So I'll try to look at you guys a little bit, but I'll mostly probably be reading there. Okay, so I was born and raised in a Christian family, and that was definitely a big blessing for me. So being born in a Christian family, just raising it made me be in touch and contact with the Word of God all my life, and so it wasn't very long before I guess God was speaking to me and putting the weight of sin on my head or in my soul, I guess. So at age 5, that is when I got saved. And like I said, the Lord was a big part of my life at that time, but mostly because it was a big part of my family's life and my parents' life. So, I'm going to start speaking in French here. So, with my parents putting God first in their life, we were almost every evening reading after supper. We would be reading the Bible at the table together as a family. And I cannot remember the date or the day of the week it was when I got saved, but I can definitely remember being convicted of my sin and understanding that I was separated from God and in a way separated from my family as well, which when you're five can be kind of a big deal, I guess. So I understood what sin was through my family's reading the Bible at supper time, and as well as verses shared at church during messages and just activities that, like, I guess, not youth group at that time, but Sunday school. And so I wasn't reading at five, but I can remember some verses that were definitely part of how I got brought to the Lord, I guess. So first verse we'll read tonight would be in Matthew 22 and verse 37 to 40. So I'll read that. 37 to 40, yes. So Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments and hang all the law and the prophets." So just by this text that we just read, it helped me understand that I couldn't follow God's command of first loving him, and so I was sinning. And, well, what does sin do? That was explained to me in Romans 3:23, which we will also read. And also Romans 6:23 right after that. So 3:23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So for that verse, for me it was the coming short of the glory of God that kind of stood out to me, because it meant to me that I was short of the glory of God, and I couldn't be with him. And so now Romans 6:23, and we'll just read the first part, because for now that's the little part that's important, and we'll go to the second part of the verse right after. So 6:23, "For the wage of sin is death." So not only I was... I'll go back, read this. Short of the glory of God, but also my soul was, I guess, dead, if that makes sense. And by those two verses, I was just not good for God, and I was, since of that, I was separated from him. So the second part of Romans 6:23, though, is a good, tells us the solution, and it's a good, not a surprise, I just have this word in my head right now, but it's a good thing, let's say it like that. So, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of love is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So, well, we're not all out of hope there, and I was not all out of hope. So I was wondering, what is the free gift spoken about there? It is eternal life. And I was thinking about eternal life with God, and knowing that my family would be spending eternity with him as well. And I was, in my little mind, how do I get that? And it was through John 3:16, as most of you guys would know. I didn't yet memorize it in English, but I memorized it in French. Anyway, John 3:16 would be a big part of the verse that brought me to get to Christ, because we, as a church, we're doing a lot of seats over, and that would be the verse we were passing all the time. And so I can also say it's the first verse I remember. And so just in my little five-year-old mind, putting all of that together, definitely not because of me, but because of the grace of God. So John 3:16, still trying to turn there. I'll read it because it's important. Wow. All right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so after kind of putting all of that in my little head, well, I understood how do I get this eternal life and fix this separation that I had from God, fix the sins that were separating me from him. So it was in my bed that night after the supper, my little bunk bed, Josh was under me. And so I asked God to save me from my sin through the free gift of love that he has for us through his Son Jesus' death on the cross. So I was saved. And now we can turn to Ephesians 2:8, and that tells us, so Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So we can see here that it was by my faith through Jesus Christ's death at the cross that I was safe, and that was reinsuring me. And now John 10:28. Sorry, there's a lot of verses, but I think the Bible is definitely the most important thing to be brought out in, well, especially for how I got saved. And so John 10:28, and we'll read until verse 30. So, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So in the verse 28 there, just this little kind of first phrase, and I give unto them eternal life. Then from that I knew that I was going to be with God through eternal life. And so, still remember, I was five then with my family. It's just, that was a big, really big part. Like, when you're five, you maybe don't understand everything, but anyway, so. And, all right. And then just this other little place there where nobody can take us from him. That was also very reassuring for me. So, let's keep on going. So, yeah. Since then, my life started changing. My life was for the Lord, and he started working in it. Now, we just do a little step in years. Age 11, I thought it would be a good thing to just let you know. At age 11, I got baptized. And started being part of the fellowship there in the Church of Jonquière, where I'm from. And so baptized at 11. And through those years, and even through the years up until now, I've failed many times. But God was good to forgive me, and He is forgiving me when I repent. So, and we can see that in First John 1:9, and so we can go read that, because First John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us, our sin and to clean us from all unrighteousness. So I didn't stop sinning, but from repentance, God kept forgiving me. So that was reassuring for me, and is still reassuring for me. So another step in years. So I was homeschooled until grade 7, and then I went to public school, which was very hard for me because there's a lot of there's many distractions in such place, and one of a big distraction for me that is kind of a big part of growing in Christ. I really liked the sport, and it was a very big distraction for me. And especially I love running and running competition. The feeling of like adrenaline and being the best was something that was keeping me from growing for God, because I was putting this kind of so much in my life that I couldn't really grow in Him. But God convicted me that this was wrong, and that was through reading Revelation 3:20. So I'll read that quick. I'll just turn 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And after that, 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So at that point in my life, I can say that kind of sport was kind of more my love than God. And through those verses, kind of in my head, I was saying that I was kind of fooling myself, kind of saying God is the most important thing, but really, I kind of seen it like my door was open, but only for Him to see me and hear me, and that was he was not with me. Like I wasn't letting Him fully in my life. So all of that was, I guess you're kind of age 13 or something, so when that happened, 13 to 16 was when all of that was happening. And then at age 16, I asked God to take my life in a new and different way that I hadn't done before, if you can say that like that. So I asked Him to help me dedicate my life to Him and kind of put Him first instead of other distracting thing that I had in my life. So I started to be more serious. I read my Bible more. I took my responsibility started taking my responsibility in the church as a man. And So there was the verse in Deuteronomy 10:12 that really kind of stood out there for me. And I'll just read that quick too. Okay. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God requires of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So all, this verse especially was, to me, it says a lot of things that Israel should do, but I kind of took it as what I should do. And it's a little different when you read in French. There's a part, I just want to put this specific thing in French. When you read, it says kind of to worship our God too. And I just want to take, like, the worship part is very important. Like, I guess, I don't really know how to put this, but my growing in Christ, like I could fear God, and try to read my Bible more and take responsibility. But it was kind of, how can I say this? It was really more when I started worshiping God and try to study my Bible to be able to bring up stuff in, like, the breaking of bread, that it really started making me grow, if that makes sense. All right. So then we keep on going. Age 18, I went to carpentry school, and by God's hand, I successfully finished at age 20. And then after that, I moved here because I knew it was what God wanted for me. And then 2 years later, as most of you know, well, I'm here. And I got married to Kaylee, which now brings new responsibility and a new way to demonstrate what God means to me. And as a husband, I can only feel blessed for this opportunity that God gives me to build a family, which should be a picture of what the church should be like. So to keep going with this in my life now, I guess, I aim to be a good testimony for Christ, as we can see in Psalm 35:28. So just two little last verse that we'll go read, I think. 35:28. So, and my tongue shall speak of righteousness and of thy praise all day long. And then Daniel 4:2. That we can go read. Kind of. Okay. 1:4. Forgot where Daniel was. That's not good. Got there. You guys are so fast. 4:2. All right. Thou it good to shew the saying and wonder that the high God has wrath toward me. I hope I read this right, but anyway. Okay. And then, I guess we can go to a conclusion. So if you guys want to have a relationship with God and to have eternal salvation and be with him forever, like I wanted, you should go to God to repent and to be cleansed from your sin by the sacrifice of his son, and put your life in his hand. And just to finish, let's read again John 3:16, and then it will be Jaden coming up. So, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So, if you're not saved tonight, or you are not 100% sure of where your soul is going after death, this verse is very explaining what you should be doing. And just put your life straight with God and just believe in the sacrifice of his son, and just just believe in him and recognize that you guys are, well, that you're a sinner. And I'm trying to not say that harshly, but just, thank you for listening, I guess.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to everyone on the live stream. We're glad to have you. I realize I probably should acknowledge them because I think my parents are on there, so... First, I just want to send a greeting from Tim and Kathy Watley. He asked me to do that. They said they really appreciate your guys' prayers and support, and they're very excited to come back. They're hoping, Lord willing, to be back by the end of March, so we're all excited to see them. So turn with me to Psalm 25. And I'm just going to acknowledge the elephant in the room here for some of you who plan to leave at 7:30. I'm not going to be done at 7:30. So, Psalm 25, this is a psalm of David. And there's a little fun fact about the psalm. In the original Hebrew language that it's written in, it was written as a form of an acrostic poem. So I had to look that up myself. It means a form of it. It was written, each line or each saying, the first letter starts with a new letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is how it was written. And I think it's kind of unfortunate that we lose some of that poetic creativity when it's translated into English, but there's still lots of things to learn from the psalm. So there are two things that jumped out to me while I was studying this, and they aren't necessarily only in the words themselves, but I was starting to notice David's heart behind the words and where he was coming from, his mindset, and his humility. So the first thing I want to notice, or I want to point out, and that we can notice while I'm reading, is David's humility and how he recognizes his position and his need for God and for God to provide for him. And the second thing we can notice is how David is worshiping the Lord through his humility and through just the posture of his heart and through the words themselves. And before we start, let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word, and we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would help us to understand it and help me to present it clearly. We just ask for your spirit to move tonight and for him to use me in your son's name. Amen. So Psalm 25, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, starting in verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Verse 6. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindnesses, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me, for your goodness sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, he teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Now I love how David starts this psalm. Back in verse 1, the very first thing that he writes in this is, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. And we can almost see an image of David offering himself to God. David saying, to you, Lord, I lift up my soul. Another version says, O Lord, I give my life to you. And then the next verse says, my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. And I almost think that David here, before he even starts writing, he just acknowledges the fact that he's offering himself to God and that his life is not his own, his life is not his enemies, that he's entrusting himself, his soul, his entire being to God. Now, if we move on, after that, down in verse 4, you see David starts to pour out his soul to God. After he has entrusted his life to God, he starts to pour out his soul to God and acknowledge things that he is looking for guidance for and that he needs from him. In verse 4, he says, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindnesses, for they have been from of old. And do not remember the sins of my youth and my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me. For your goodness sake, O Lord. Now, verse 8, which is really kind of what I want to get into. This next section from verse 8 to 11, we'll really see David in his humility, and he, in this section here, he acknowledges his position as low and as a sinner, and in his need for God to guide him and to provide for him. And he also acknowledges God as the provider and as good and as the Lord that he needs and the God that he needs. So let's read into verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. I like to take this word therefore and change it out to because. Good and upright is the Lord because of that, he instructs sinners in the way. Because he is good, he instructs sinners. And he leads the humble in justice. He teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. And when I was reading this, I couldn't help but think that there's a connection here that David's making between the sinner that God instructs and the humble person that he's teaching. And the fact that in salvation, there's a connection between our own humility and our ability to acknowledge ourselves in our own sin and us being sinners ourselves. So a connection that God is good and upright, and because of that, he instructs the humble sinner, and he teaches the humble sinner in the way that he should go. And then down in verse 11, we see David identify himself as that sinner. He says, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." So he says, "Lord, you're good, and you lead the humble sinner." And then just a couple words later, he says, "Lord, I'm the sinner, and I have a lot of sin, and I have big sin. But Lord, forgive it, and forgive me." And I like the beginning of that. He says, "For your name's sake, forgive my sin. And for your glory, forgive my sin, pardon my iniquity." And this little section is a beautiful picture of salvation, in how we, when we're dead in sin, we need to acknowledge that. And we need to come to a point where we realize that we're sinners and we humble ourselves before God and we acknowledge that he's the one that we need to turn to and trust in for our salvation. Now turn with me just quickly to Philippians chapter 2. Loudon had shared these couple of verses with Bailey and I last week, and I just thought they tied in so perfectly so that I could not share them. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 8 down to verse 11. And this is speaking of Jesus. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow to those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This point in verses 10 and 11, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But this last part says that's going to happen, and the purpose of that is for the glory of God. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And when we bow our knee before God, when we humble ourselves, and maybe it's not necessarily always a physical bowing of our knees or a public confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, but the inward posture of our heart, and when we humble ourselves before God and acknowledge that we're a sinner and that we need him in any situation, that is worship to God, and that is glorifying to him. Just if we do that inwardly. And I just want to share a personal story to close. Most of you know that Bailey's father passed away in December. And at the time, I was memorizing Psalm 25. And the night before he died, Bailey and I were sitting in bed, and we were just talking about how out of control of the situation that we felt, and the fact that we were here. We couldn't fly out to see him because she was pregnant. She was due in 2 weeks. We couldn't help him in any way. We weren't really sure what to say to her mom or her sister who was there with her or with him. And we were just sitting in bed, just talking about how weak and how vulnerable we felt in that moment. And it's kind of funny, it's not funny, it's obvious. When you're memorizing something, the fact that it sticks in your head. And since I've been memorizing Psalm 25, The verses kept coming to me while I was sitting there in verse 2. It says, "My God, I trust in you. I trust in you." And we just started kind of talking about that, how the only thing we can do right now is just trust God and trust in his plan and his timing and his grace. And I didn't realize it at the time. Or really until I started preparing for this message. But I think that I've learned that in that moment, the acknowledgement of our weakness and vulnerability and the acknowledgement that God is who we're trusting in and it's his plan that we're trusting in. I don't say this to build us up, but just to be an example that that acknowledgement of God in that moment was worship to him and was glorifying to God. And I think that I kind of needed to learn that sometimes our worship doesn't need to be public or fancy or big or maybe even skillful. But our worship can simply just be the posture of our heart and our attitude. And actually, I liked, and I was encouraged this morning when Dan got up to start the Breaking Bread meeting. And I might not quote him exactly, but basically what he said is, we're here this morning and our attitude and our posture is that of a heart of worship. And I really agreed with that. And I think sometimes as worshipers of God, we simply just need to humble ourselves before him and acknowledge that we're weak and let go of all our plans, let go of our desires, what we want to do with our lives, maybe what we want to do today or tomorrow or how we think we want to spend our time or resources. Just let go of all of that and just humble ourselves before God and acknowledge our weakness and our need for him and just trust in him. And then God is glorified in simply the inward posture of our heart in those moments. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for tonight and that you are with us and that we can trust in you and that you save us. We thank you for John's testimony and that even at the age of 5 or a little older or a little younger, we can understand your grace and your love and we can acknowledge ourselves as sinners and that we need a Savior. We just thank you for the gospel and that it's so simple. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We praise him, lift him up. In his name we pray. Amen.